if he sounds just a little like Shrek. For those of you that don't know him, John Murdoch was from Scotland. And so years ago in 1999, the Lord sent my family and I to Scotland. And before very long, I firmly believe that one of the reasons was that the Lord had sent us to come alongside John Murdoch. And so he was my pastor. He was the pastor of the local parish church in the Isle of Skye in Scotland. And the way that the Lord has planned it is that they and his family ended up moving back here and being part of the ministry here. So let's reach out your hearts and your hands toward him and just say, Lord, we never want to take lightly the gift that you give us in the form of people. And so we thank you for the gift that John Murdoch is and his family. And that you sent him here. As John 1 says, there came a man sent from God. His name was John. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would have your peace and rest, joy, and that your holy word to our hearts would just be in his heart as a fire. Bless him in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for your very kind words, Todd. It's great to be described as young. There's some days I don't feel like that. This morning, I just want to focus our attention on just one verse of Scripture from the Old Testament. It's found in the first book of Samuel at chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Well, we'll actually read from verses 2 through to 12. 1 Samuel 7. Reading from verse 2. And this tells us of how Samuel subdues the Philistines at Mizpah. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of foreign gods and the Ashtaroths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtaroths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was a leader or judge of Israel at Mizpah. When the Israelites heard that, when the Philistines heard that that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to the point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. Amen. May God bless to us the public reading of his holy and his glorious word to us. I would like to bring this final 9 o'clock service to a conclusion at the end of this year by thinking of the verse we read there at verse 12, For Samuel took up this stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has God helped us." The old King James version of the Bible says, "Hitherto has the Lord helped us." And that's one version that particularly is precious to me, because it was a Bible translation that I was brought up with in my youth. And a lot of the memory verses I learned was from the old King James version. And this word, "hitherto," has such force and power to it. It impacts us because it makes us realize that this is God's work. God has done all this for us. He has taken us this far. As we stand on this last Sunday of this year, it's hard to believe another year has passed in our lives. And traditionally, I certainly know in Scotland, I don't know if this is the case in Canada, but it's a time in church where we reflect back over the year, what God has spoken to us, how God has led us, how God has impacted our lives. And we've asked ourselves, have we been faithful to God's calling in our lives? Have we done what he has asked us to do? Have we followed him wholeheartedly? Have we gone that extra mile? Have we sought his face in prayer? Have we sought his holy presence? Have we been obedient to the high calling of Christ Jesus? Through these words today, I hope that we will think of what God has done for us and his calling in our own lives. I can honestly say this morning, I am happy and blessed to be here with you in this wonderful church fellowship. I've never experienced a church like I've experienced a church at River of Life. I've been in many churches over many years in Scotland and some here in Canada, but I've never experienced a church which has pursued God's dream for us and our calling to be a glorious church, to be his disciples. I want to pay honor to you today to say you are a church that is not settling for religious mediocrity. You're pursuing the presence of God, his holy presence amongst us. And that's what makes a difference, I believe, in this church than in other churches I've attended over the years. Other churches have settled for lip service to God, and they're going nowhere but down. In Scotland today, many churches just open their doors and believe, well, people will just come to us. We're not praying for them. We're not doing anything in our communities for them. If we open our doors to them, they will come. But the reality is, people are not coming. And instead of a welcome sign at the door of many a church in Scotland today, what you will find more so is rest in peace. Because it's dying. And it's a sad reflection on the church of Jesus Christ in that nation. This is a church that opens its doors, but it also opens its hearts. And there are many ministries here that reach out into this community. And we see the benefit of it Sunday after Sunday when we see new people and new faces coming to this church and coming to seek God for themselves and meeting with Jesus Christ gloriously. We're not setting for religion. We're wanting God, and we want the fullness of God expressed in us in this church, that this church might be the glorious church, all that God has dreamed it to be. So let's just focus our minds and our attention on this verse in verse 12. Thus far has the Lord helped us. As we reflect today on our lives, on our church life in this past year, it has been a year of different experiences for many of us, I believe. For some, it has been times of great joy where we have known the nearness of God. We have actually felt his presence. We've been touched in our hearts in a way that we've never been touched before, and we've been opened up and we've wept tears of joy. There has been great celebration in his presence. We have been aware that God has been at work, and he has thrilled our hearts as we have sought to seek him and serve him. But I'm also sure that for others, it's been a time of hardness. And we wondered, where is God in all this? Where is God in my life today? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? And God is like a distant memory to us. You might be disappointed with your pastors. You might be disappointed with your church and your elders. But I want to say this, we cannot be disappointed with God. Because whatever you're experiencing in your life, God has brought you to this moment and He will bring you through it. Thus far, He has helped us. This word, thus far as the Lord helped us, or hitherto as the Lord helped us, is like a hand that points back in time. It looks back and it traces various events, various moments, special times, and said, yes, God was with me in that situation at that particular moment. We can say 20, 30, 40 years, thus far as God helped me. Through poverty, through wealth, through sickness, through health, at home, abroad, in land or in sea, in perplexity or in joy, God has been with us in all these things. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But this word also looks forward because when a man comes to a point of saying hitherto, he has not yet finished his course. He has not yet arrived. He has not yet attained it all. He is still looking forward in the providence of God and said, I am believing for more. I expect more that the Lord Almighty is still going to be with me as He was in the past, as He was in the present. He will be in the future. He has not finished His journey. There is still a distance to go for the man or for the woman of God. Here at ROL, we still have a distance to go. We are not a finished product yet. God is still working in our character. He is still refining our character. He's still chipping away things in us to make us a holy people, to make us a holy vessel, to carry His presence out into the nations, to the people of this world. 26 years I've been a believer, and there is still a lot of work to be done in my heart and life yet. You know, I had a very interesting start to the day this morning. I got up early. I was just finishing off my sermon. I put it on one of these little scan discs that you plug into your computer and you can take it up, take it away with you and plug it into another computer. And I was going to have my sermon printed here in the church. And when I came up here at 7 o'clock this morning, I couldn't find the disc. I was sure I'd put it in my pocket. I was sure it was with me. And in a panic, I was searching all the pockets, couldn't be found. So I ran back home, well, I drove back home, I should say, and went downstairs to my computer. It wasn't there. I came upstairs into the kitchen. It still wasn't there. I searched around the house. It still wasn't there. And I thought, well, the only thing I can do is bring my computer up to the church with me, and I'll use my computer instead of notes in front of me this morning. But as I was closing the door into the garage, my thumb got stuck between the door and the doorpost. You can imagine the reaction was, rats. Ow. That was sore. That's what a godly man would probably say or think. But my thoughts were very different as I was sort of jumping up and down with my thumb between my thighs. It was very, very sore. God is still refining my character, my mind, and my heart. I am not the finished article. I am not yet perfect. One day I will be when He calls me home to glory. But I am pursuing the character of God in my own life. To be a holy person. Not out of religious law or duty. But because I want to be like Jesus. Thus far has the Lord helped me as I look back on my own life. Of 26 years has been a believer. When Samuel utters these words here in 1 Samuel, he is calling a people back to God. At this time in their history, this is what the Bible says about the children of Israel in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They paid lip service to God. Yes, we knew God and our pastor. Our mothers and our fathers and our grandparents spoke about this God that did these wonderful works at the Red Sea and in the desert and how He took us out of Egypt and all these things. That was in the past, but that's not a present reality to me today. So they started seeking after other gods and idols. the Baals, the Ashtaroth poles, all these kind of things. Yeah, they still viewed God as, well, something that was slightly important to them in their past. When they would still go out to battles with their enemies, they would still bring the Ark of the Lord with them. But the Ark of the Lord was no longer the presence of God. It was like a good luck charm to them. Just in case, let's bring this religious symbol out with us. You know, it might do us some good. And in one particular battle, we find that the Philistines routed the army of Israel, and they took the Ark of the Lord, which was the very presence of God. They took it back to their own city, to their own temple. And Israel was defeated, and Israel was in shame. Maybe this is a warning to us on this last Sunday of this year, as we prepare to enter into a new year. Let us not pay lip service to the presence of God. Let's not treat God like a good luck charm. If we do, then we are fools and we are kidding ourselves. We might not face defeat against the Philistines, but we might face defeat in other ways. What about defeat in our economy? What about the credit crunch? What about recession in Canada, the United Kingdom, the USA, and the world? Is God speaking to us in these things? I do not think, and I do not believe, that there has been a day in the history of the world that has been marked by this. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We've treated God lightly in this world that we live in. We look at global warming. We look at the famines. We look at the disasters. We look at possibly a world recession. Is God speaking to us as a world, as a nation, as a Canada, as a country, as a city here in Lethbridge, and even as a church? The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that he will also reap." This might be a somber message this morning, but I think it's something that I have to take to heart, and maybe you have to take to heart as we come to the end of this year. By all means, let's look back with thankfulness, but let's take God with us into the coming year. Let us not forget what He has done here in River of Life. Let us not forget what God has done for us in our own personal lives. Thus far has He helped us. We have pastors and we have elders and we have ministry people in here who will help us. But ultimately it is God that is helping us through them. Let us not forget the Lord and His work and His goodness. Because man will fail you. I will certainly fail you. But God is absolutely faithful and dependable. He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. I'm sure in this room this morning I could call on certain individuals right at this moment and say, come and give testimony to what God has done for you in 2008. And you could come and you could recount a whole list of things. Wondrous things, special moments where God was so close to you, where God answered prayer. My wife was sharing last night with some friends of certain prayer things she had brought before God just for Christmas, for people she knew. And God answered her prayers. And it was wonderful to see people out of church that we weren't expecting to see out of church, but she prayed believing and they came. She prayed believing for certain relationships to be built up, and these things happened. Hitherto, God has helped us. He still hears. He still answers prayer. Thus far has God helped us. One of the many things I love about River of Life is this. They place a high priority on the presence of God. in the services, but also in our personal life. Why do you think we went through these spiritual disciplines over the autumn period? Why do you think we have sermons on the God's glorious dream for the church? We are seeking something that is precious. We view the presence of God as a priority and not as a luxury. An absolute priority. And that's why we look back with gratefulness and thankfulness. That's why we look forward with expectancy to a coming year, to new messages from the heart of God to us as a church. As we come then to the close of this year, and as we stand on the verge of the new one, let us seek the Lord diligently as the day we first came to know Him. Let's recall that moment of our first year of faith, when we wept tears of joy, when we felt clean for the very first time. All my sins, all my wickedness, all my bad ways, they have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a believer. I am a Christian. I am on my way to heaven. I am walking with my Lord and my Savior. It was a precious day to us. And we look back and we say, thank you, God, for that. But we look forward and we say, thank you that you are still the same God, and thank you that you are still with us. Can you remember that day of faith? That moment when the person and the reality and the, of Jesus Christ became real to you? What a wonderful day that was. Each year, each month, each day, each moment, we just thank God for that special time. Hitherto has He helped us, but we still want to look forward. Just sort of one final thought in closing this morning. It's a verse that came to me from Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6. I didn't give it to the media booth because it's just sort of come to me at this moment. It speaks about an event that took place at Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb was a special place for God's people. As they journeyed through the wilderness, it was at Mount Horeb God revealed Himself to Moses. It was at Mount Horeb that God revealed Himself to His people. And God spoke some very special things at that Mount Horeb, at that certain place. But you know, God didn't want them to stay at Mount Horeb. He wanted them to move on. It says at Mount Horeb, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 6, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the whole country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples." And so the text goes on. You know, sometimes when we receive a special moment with God, a certain revelation, it's so easy to stay at that place and never move from it. It's so easy to say, well, this was so precious to me that I cannot possibly move on from this event because that's the way God has met with me, and there's nothing more to know of God than on that certain moment, in that special occasion. The little island I come from on the west coast of Scotland is like that. They received a wonderful visitation of God in revival. God rained down from heaven His presence. And you know, people were being converted on the streets who never went near a church because a tangible presence of God was in that place. That was back in the late 40s, 1950s. Do you know that island is still stuck in that place today? They can only think that God moved in that certain way at that certain period of time, and they try and recreate it year after year after year, and they do not realize that God has moved on and He is doing something else. They still sing the same songs. They still read the passages of Scripture in the same way. They still have the same translations. Many of them would never use a New International Version. They would call it the Newly Inspired Version. They're still stuck in the old King James. They still have a certain form of worship where one man will stand up in a church and he will throw out the line, he will present, they call it, and they will sing back to him. They would never dare use guitars or pianos or things like that. They're stuck at a certain place, at a certain mountain, saying, God can only work in that way. And God has moved on. And His blessing has moved on. And they're missing out on the presence of God. They're godly, lovely, precious people, but they're stuck at a historical mountain. They're stuck at a theological mountain. And whatever God has done in River of Life in 2008, let's not be stuck at that particular point in your life. Let's move on for this coming year and expect more and greater things from our Father in heaven. As He comes with His Word, as He comes with His Spirit, as He comes with His presence in this place, let's have open hearts to say, I will receive all that You have for me. I will not be stuck at this mountain in the past. I will seek You this coming year, and I will seek You all of my life. If God had not uttered these words to the children of Israel at Mount Horeb, they would still be stuck in the desert. They would never have moved on into the promised land. They would never have moved on into the things that God had for them. He said, I will give you a land flowing with milk and honey. He promised that to them when they were in the wilderness, when they were even when they were in Egypt. He promised them these things, but the promises of God are conditional. We have to be obedient to what He's saying to us and let us move on. Thankfully, Moses heard the voice of the Lord. Thankfully, Moses said, I will take this people. Thankfully, Moses spoke to them without fear and without trembling, and he led them into the promised land. He himself only reached the border. He died before he ever saw the land. He saw it from a distance, but they entered in and obtained what God had for them. Will you today go on into this land flowing with milk and honey for you in 2009? Could we possibly dare dream for revival in Canada? Could we dream for it here in this city? Let's believe for great things. Hitherto hath God helped us. He's done it in the past. He's doing it today. And He will certainly do it in 2009. Will you walk with Him? Will you go with Him? Amen. May God bless to us His holy and His precious word to us.
John Murdo. We want to take some time in prayer to respond to God's word. The best message in the world will do our hearts no good, but that our response is right. Jesus spoke about a parable, the sower and the seed. The sower went out sowing all kinds of good seed, which represented God's word, but only one out of every four hearts did it ever spring up and produce anything. So, Lord, we train ourselves to take Your word into the depths of our hearts. And to give whatever response is appropriate. Just while Marianne just plays some music, let's spend some time in prayer. Let's just ask the Lord, what does a response look like for You, and what does a response look like for me? Hitherto has the Lord helped us. So Lord, we take some moment, we give thanks. For years, hitherto has the Lord helped us. For all Your helps. Let's take a moment, just thank God. Whatever the last months have been like, You've had years of the Lord helping us. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all your mercies, all your blessings. Everything you've done over this last year and prior to that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A thankful hearts or contented hearts. Come and speak to our hearts, oh God. Speak to our hearts, oh God. Lord, hitherto you've helped us. You will continue to help us. You will continue to be our helper, to stand with us. So put faith by the Holy Spirit, put faith in our hearts, put hope in our hearts. Expectation and anticipation. Lord, as we move on for you, is there any mountain that we need to depart from? Just move on from. As you've said to Israel, you've been at this mountain long enough. Is there anything, Lord, that we're clinging to? Even a really good thing, a previous experience that you need us just to move on now to new experiences in you. Hallelujah. Father, we also respond to your word about your presence. Oh, we want your presence in our midst and in our hearts. Your presence, oh God. Just take a few minutes, just in your own heart, just cry out for God's presence. Just a distant memory of his presence. Oh God. Oh God. Lord, I want to wake up in your presence. I want to go to sleep in your presence. eat in your presence and work in your presence. At work and play. In hard times and good. When in plenty or with little. In public and in private. We are a people made for your presence. So Lord, when we pray now, we don't just pray in this moment. We pray as we head into a whole new year. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a Father. With a benediction, and we're going to go upstairs for fellowship. So please make sure that you turn around afterwards and just greet someone. We'll just warmly welcome them. Just say to them, why don't you come upstairs with me? We're going to have coffee and a treat. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore.